WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Very good connection for Patrick Mahomes. He's been scoring a lot of touchdowns, getting a lot of receiving yards and receptions. I don't think that really moves the needle much for the Chiefs. I think the loss of Mecole Hardman, even though he's been struggling with injury this year, is a bigger loss because they'll have to go to another rookie or a bench player that Mahomes may not have that connection to or chemistry to. And when you're getting a third down and getting late to ball games, who's going to be able to catch that ball, if catch that pass to move the chains if Kelce is getting double teamed the whole time? Is it going to be Noah Gray? Is it going to be Sky Moore? Is Juju Smith-Schuster going to be healthy? I mean, there's a lot of question marks around the Chiefs receiving corps still. I mean, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, he really came on the scene this past two weeks ago when they played
AFC against, Championship game.
Yep. He really had a big game. So maybe he's the spotlight for them.
Yeah, he had a really great game he had, six catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown. So perhaps it is him again, but I like the Eagles' corners a lot better against
Darius Slay, CJ Gardner-Johnson. Is there any update on Kadarius Toney?
I haven't seen anything.
That's a big one because he's been having some quiet good games lately, and his route running and his speed ability can really change the game in one play.
I haven't seen anything on Kadarius Toney at the moment. Again, giving you our Super Bowl predictions here, our breakdown. I haven't seen any kind of injury updates. I did see that Landon Dickerson did have an injury in the NFC Championship game, although I think he is expected to play.
Yep.
And Lane Johnson, of course, he re-tore his groin muscle, I believe.
Yep. O-linemen are just built different. I mean, those guys are warriors in the trenches, and we love Landon Dickerson, what he did at Alabama, especially that 2020 season where he tore his ACL and came back on the last play. I mean, just shows the fight. He's not going to want to miss the Super Bowl for anything.
No, I expect both of those guys to play. We'll see what happens with the receivers on the Chiefs. Of course, the Chiefs have a plethora of weapons that they can use. McKinnon's more than capable of catching the ball out of the backfield. Kelce is the best receiving tight end in the NFL right now, maybe in history at that position. And Valdez-Scantling with Sky Moore. You got Noah Gray, the other tight end that you can mix in there every now and then. Potentially Juju back. Potentially Kadarius Toney back. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah. The Chiefs are not hurting for weapons, but this Eagles defense is really good. The interesting thing to me, I'll be watching this, is that the Eagles like to play a lot of 4 and 5 down linemen, right? And what that does is it pulls DBs out of coverage and puts a little more pressure on the quarterback, but it makes it a little bit easier for receivers to get open. So I'll be watching that in this game because Patrick Mahomes is very mobile. And let's say he escapes the pocket. Well, if you have a lot of guys on the line, let's say 5 guys down on the line, and you're missing those additional guys in coverage, it might be difficult for the Eagles all night long because I think Patrick Mahomes can just make stuff happen that it's hard to see other quarterbacks do in this league right now. So I guess it is that time. Final predictions. So let's just talk about who do we think will win first. All right, and then we'll get into the sort of lines here and over under, things like that. So who do you think's going to win the Super Bowl? Just flat out.
Man, I still think Jalen Hurts is going to bring it home. I don't know. I just feel like they got the healthier team right now. So I'm gonna say the Eagles. I'm gonna stick with my first prediction.
I am going to agree with you. I think the Eagles will win the Super Bowl. Now the question is, by how much, right? The line's at 1.5. So do you think the Eagles cover the spread?
Yeah, I think it'll be like in between 3 to 7. maybe 3-10, and it really just depends. I feel like Mahomes, whoever has the ball last, I feel like is going to win this game.
You know, I'm going to take the Eagles by 10. I'm going to take them by double digits. I know that's a little risky, especially with the line at 1.5. I'm going to take the Eagles by 10, though.
All it takes is one turnover.
Yeah, seriously. And the Eagles, they've had, they especially early in the season, they were able to create a lot of turnovers, right?
And you still have, the lead league leader in interceptions right now on their team that just coming back from injury a couple weeks ago, C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yep.
So.
Yep, CJGJ, right?
Yep.
He's back, was able to play in the NFC Championship game. So he'll be back for them, as well as, like you said, Darius Slay. They have James Bradberry that they got from the Giants this offseason. He's been really good for them this season.
I really think one big key will be if Haason Reddick or Fletcher Cox can make that big play, can get to Mahomes. Because, I mean, in the past Super Bowl that Mahomes played when those Bucks and Chiefs, I know the Chiefs upgraded significantly at the O-line position, but the Bucks were able to get to him fairly frequently, so I'm interested to see how that plays out in the matchup on the edges and the inside with the linemen.
Have we heard anything about Jordan Davis? Has he been injured?
I don't think he's been injured. He may have just been quiet. I mean, he really doesn't have to do much. He's really just got a... He's not really like a big play sack maker. He's really just like a gap guy. Closes gaps between and stops the run. He's really good at run blocking.
Okay, according to ESPN's injury report tracker here, Mecole Hardman is on injury reserve. Willie Gay, their linebacker, is questionable with a shoulder injury. Kadarius Toney, questionable with a ankle and hamstring injury. Juju, questionable with a knee. Ladarius Sneed, questionable with a concussion. And then Justin Ross and Tershawn Wharton, neither one of them really play a massive role. They're both on IR.
Get healthy fast. Those doctors are going to be working all week. I mean, Ladarius Sneed coming off a concussion, I mean, that's a big injury to the secondary. Hopefully he's cleared and good to go.
Yeah, so Arian Sipos, the punter for the Eagles, is on IR. He will return from IR on Thursday, though, so that's he might be good. Josh Sills, a guard, he's out, you know, after that kidnapping situation that he had. I'm just looking to see if there's anybody on here. I don't see anybody that looks like they're going to be a massive loss for the Eagles, which makes you really nervous if you're the Chiefs, and I guess makes me a little bit more confident in my double-digit win total here. But as of right now, according to the ESPN matchup predictor, it's a 50-50. You know, it's literally a coin flip. According to the ESPN matchup predictor, both teams with a 50% chance to win. Again, Eagles -1.5 to win it all, and the over-under is 50.5. All right, over-under, 50.5 points in the Super Bowl. Both of these teams, great offenses, but they both have really good defenses as well. Eagles like to grind the clock, a lot of running the football. So are you taking the over or the under here with the total 50.5?
I'm gonna lean towards the over. I just don't think the Eagles are going to be winning it in the trenches, as a lot of people think. I think Jalen Hurts is going to have to really show off his arm and show that his shoulder got better, and they're going to have to win. When it comes down to the end, I really think it's going to be a one-possession game, and whoever has the ball last will win the game. And I think Jalen Hurts is going to have to win with his arm. I really do think it will be a high-scoring game. Both offenses are electric, can score in any moment. I mean, especially... I mean, Jalen Hurts, don't sleep on that play-action deep ball that Jalen Hurts has had into connections with A.J. Brown. I really think A.J. Brown, he's been kind of hasn't really had a bright spot in these playoffs these last two games. I really think him and Jalen Hurts are going to have a great connection. He's going to have a big game, and I feel like Devonta Smith, he'll get his own. He'll get his five or six catches for 70 or 80 yards, and I think really, it's offense is going to come down to Jalen Hurts, I feel like, this game.
Yeah, so you'd mentioned A.J. Brown kind of being a no-show in the postseason here. His postseason statistics are really interesting. He's had 7 catches, 7 receptions for 50 yards, targeted 14 times.
Yeah, he had a lot. He had like 11 targets, I believe. In,
zero touchdowns. Zero touchdowns. So, you know, he has not been getting the ball a lot.
He did get targeted 11 times in Niners, so they were trying to give him the ball, but they weren't really needing to pass the ball, especially in the second half when they had such a big lead.
Yeah, conversely, Smitty with 8 catches on 13 targets, so he's targeted less, but he has got 97 yards. So really neither one of them having massive targets.
Yeah. They were both... It's kind of, I would say it's kind of skewed a little bit just because of the margin of victory that the Eagles had in both of their games. They haven't really had the chances in the second half because they were just grinding out in the trenches in the second half. They were just mauling.
So Miles Sanders had 28 carries for 132 yards and 2 touchdowns in the postseason.
Yeah. I still think him and Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott are all going to still be big contributors for the Super Bowl, especially in the red zone.
Kenneth Gainwell, 26 carries for 160 yards and a touchdown in the postseason, and Boston Scott here with 12 attempts for 53 yards and 2 touchdowns in the postseason. So, yeah, they've been running the ball a lot more in the postseason than throwing the ball, and I think that they're going to attempt that early. We'll see if they have success. This is a team that can beat you on the ground and through the air, right? You have to play Jalen Hurts a very specific way. If you run after him too much, he can, you know, make a couple guys miss and take the ball, you know, and take off. Pick up a first down, pick up extra yardage.
That's why I think Jalen Hurts is going to be the big factor. I mean, his arm especially... And especially his scrambling, because I'm thinking that they're always going to have a spy on him, so probably Willie Gay or one of the other linebackers. So I feel like he's going to have to be able to escape. If he escapes that, he's going to get his yards, and then I think it's just the big key is just going to be his arm. I think his arm, if they get down early, his arm's going to have to bring him back in the game, because if they get the run game taken out early, then it'll be really on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to watch this this all unfold. I really, both of these teams are so good at multiple positions. Like we talked about last week, the Chiefs playing rookie corners against A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, it doesn't really seem like that's going to be a great matchup for them. So if it does come down to Jalen Hurts having to throw the football, I think that the Eagles would feel pretty confident being able to put a Devontae Smith or an A.J. Brown on a rookie corner.
I wonder, what are Super Bowl ticket prices? Have they been going up or they've been...
Well, let's see here. Okay. I just had it pulled up here, so we'll check this out and let's see. What does it say for the ticket prices? I guarantee you it's stupid.
Like, gotta be like,
I mean,
$3,000 or $4,000 at least.
Yeah.
It's just insane. It's just turned into a dinner party. Not even the passionate fans. I mean,
over 4,000 for the nosebleeds.
Eagles and Chiefs gotta be at least up there for top 5 most passionate fan bases.
Yeah.
Eagles especially are top 3.
I mean, you're talking about, like, if you're in the lower level, lower bowl on the sidelines.
Yeah, those are definitely like $10,000 to $20,000 at least.
Those are pushing $10,000 right now. Some of them are even up to 11 in certain sections. But if you're talking about nosebleeds, you're looking at, you know, anywhere from 6,000 to 4,000.
Yeah, it's insane.
Uh-huh, yeah. And then, of course, box seating is incredibly stupid. If you want, all right, hey, look, if you want to be in a box, you gotta have $45,000 on hand.
Yeah, it's like taking out a loan.
That is insane.
I'm sure plenty of Philadelphia celebrities are going to be in attendance.
Oh, yeah.
Especially Meek Mill. Plenty of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bradley Cooper, massive Eagles fan. So, yeah, this will be a really good Super Bowl. We are both picking the Eagles to win. I think we're both picking them to cover the spread right now of 1.5. You are going over with the 50.5. I'm going to go under. I don't know if it's going to get that high scoring. We'll see. Could be wrong. But with the injury to Patrick Mahomes, the injuries to the offensive line of the Eagles, I don't know. I just feel like it's not going to be that high scoring. So I'm going to go with the under.
You bring up the Mahomes injury. I completely forgot about that. I mean, he's still probably not 100% off that ankle sprain. It'll still be affecting him. He's probably still going to have to get some pain-relieving shots before the game. But, man, if they can get pressure to him, it's really going to be big for Hassan Reddick. I feel like if he can make a play, like a strip sack or something, force a turnover, that'll be probably one of the differences in the game, be if they can get pressure on him.
Yes, well, we will just have to wait and see. Again, this is going to be happening on Sunday night. I believe Fox has got the broadcast for this Super Bowl. So Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. Central Time, Greg Olson on the call in his first year as an analyst, which is really interesting. He's done a great job, though.
Yeah, him and Kevin Burkhardt have done very good.
Yeah.
Taking the place of Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, very good.
Who I like both of those teams. They're both great teams. But also be sure to tune in Sunday night because the Sunday night version of the student section will be doing a live watch-along here at the station. So if you can't be at home watching the Super Bowl on Sunday night, no worries. Just tune in. 90.7, and you can listen to the guys on the Sunday night student section kind of give you the live play-by-plays. Well, maybe not play-by-play, but they're going to kind of do a live watch-through, live reactions, tell you kind of what's going on, give you some storylines, some updates from the game, interesting things. Yeah, I mean, gosh, half-time you could spend tons of time talking about the celebrities that'll be there.
Yep.
Rihanna is doing the halftime show for the Super Bowl. That should be absolutely fantastic. Rihanna crushes it. So they're going to give you their reaction about the halftime show. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to do a great job. So again, if you can't watch the Super Bowl, or if you can and you just want to have, you know, maybe an even more enjoyable experience, tune in 90.7 on Sunday and listen to the guys kind of give you a live watch along with the Super Bowl. All right, stick around because we're going to tell you what we thought of the Pro Bowl that just happened this weekend when we return on the student section.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to the student section. I am your host, Fida McGuirk, joined by Nicholas Elliott. And we're talking about the Pro Bowl. Our reactions from the Pro Bowl that happened this weekend. What did we think? Obviously, there's a new format. But, of course, before we do, announcement time. I'm sure we've all seen it. Tom Brady is retiring from the NFL. Again. So Brady will officially retire this time. It seems like he is out for good. 7 Super Bowl rings, 1 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 6 with the New England Patriots. It sounds awfully familiar to a certain head coach of a certain college football program who has a certain number of championships at one school and a certain number of championship at one other school, maybe. If you get my gist, right? Nick Saban, obviously, 6 rings at Alabama, 1 at LSU, 7 in total. Very similar when you're talking about the greatest of all time as a player in the NFL and the greatest of all time as a coach in college football happening simultaneously, really. So we wish Tom Brady the best of luck. It does seem like he is going to hold off for a season until 2024 to start his broadcast contract with Fox. He will make more with Fox in 10 years than he made in his entire NFL career as a player. So that just shows you what kind of money is out there in sports media.
Just shows you also the value that Tom Brady brings anywhere, especially when you have the name Tom Brady, one of the greatest of all-time quarterbacks in the NFL. When you bring that name on the broadcast, people are going to want to watch and listen to what he has to say. So
absolutely. Yeah, we Fox certainly aren't getting paid $340 million to do this.
That's
so
right.
But yeah, Tom Brady obviously is going to go to Fox and be the new color analyst, I'm assuming for their number one team there. So we'll see what happens with Greg Olsen because he's done a great job.
Yeah, hopefully Greg Olsen stays. Hopefully they have a three-person booth.
You know, I don't love three-people booths. The only people that do it right now that I've seen are like the second team for the ESPN broadcast with like Lewis Reddick and Dan Orlovsky are the two color guys. And I'm not a fan of three people. You know, I like the two-person booth. So it's interesting to see. Honestly, Greg Olsen could probably decide to take his talents elsewhere.
I mean, I think especially lately with Rob Gronkowski going starting at Fox too, so he'll be him and Brady bringing that connection to Fox would be awesome. And I think Gronk's done really good from especially just in the studio.
Yeah, Gronk's done good in the studio. He definitely needs to, I think, continue to work on his polish and his delivery. It's obvious, of course, who am I to talk, but it's obvious he is new to this when
his
you compare
humor,
him
his
to
humor
the others.
Makes it must-see TV, especially like watching Charles Barkley on TNT. He makes it must-see TV, especially with him and Shaq. So I think Brady going to the TV is going to be a very good look for the future of Colin. Him calling games, whatever that is, maybe studio calling games. I mean,
yeah. Oh, you're well, yeah. I mean, with his paycheck, he'll be calling games in the booth. He won't be in the studio. Nobody pays a studio guy that much money.
Tom Brady, you can get as much money as you want for doing anything.
I suppose, but I am interested to see what happens with Greg Olsen. I don't think he's going to take the number two role. I would say, like, maybe Prime goes after him instead of Kirk Herbstreit. Love Kirk Herbstreit in college. He's done a solid job in the NFL. It just feels wrong for me to hear Kirk Herbstreit in the NFL.
He's just done a lot of games this year. I mean, props to him, man. He's been working nonstop from August all the way to January, February. I mean, he worked the Pro Bowl yesterday. So, I mean, he's been doing great work. I mean, he's one of the best in the business, I mean, for a reason. So
yeah. He's done really well, but again, it's just too collegey for me.
Yeah.
Like when I listen to him breaking down pro games, it just doesn't feel like I'm listening to a professional football broadcast. It feels like a college team, like a college level ESPN people are breaking it down at the college level and they're providing the insight. And it's like, no, I want you to get a little deeper into what's happening here.
Me dig.
And I think Greg Olsen does that a lot better. So maybe that's an option for him. Of course, Chris Collinsworth is really getting up there in terms of age for NBC Sunday Night Football. So perhaps maybe that's an option. But again, I don't think Greg Olsen's going to play second fiddle here at Fox because he's done a fantastic job. We have seen reports that CBS is not exactly excited about Tony Romo and what he's been doing. So I don't know. Maybe CBS decides to move Tony Romo off to their second broadcast and let Greg Olsen and Jim Nantz call with their first team. That would be quite the duo there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Tony Romo was loved at first.
Tony Romo. I don't know what the deal is. But
I don't either. He was able to – I mean, his predictions on was like the perfect like quarterback to have in the booth for people at home to be able to watch the game in a different angle.
Yeah, I love Tony Romo. I think some people are like, no, we don't want to hear the whole predicting the plays. And it's like, no, that's cool. Nobody else does that. And as a person who watches a ton of football, I want to know a little bit more about the play. I want to get a little bit more into the weeds of how is this play structured. I don't just want to be the general casual fan watching it. And they're like, oh, tell me some storyline. And that's what you talk about. And, you know, just kind of give me a general idea of what that play was. And it's like, no, Tony Romo gets a little bit more into it, and I like that. But yeah, the broadcast for the Pro Bowl was really interesting. But you had like Kirk Herbstreit and Pat McAfee in the booth together or something like that. That was really interesting. And then you had RG3 out there on the field and Marcus Spears on the field and stuff like that. And then they had Snoop Dogg and Pete Davidson as guest judges. It was crazy, crazy weekend. Yes, and the coaches, right?
Snoop Dogg was a coach also.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool. Head coaches, of course, the Manning brothers, Eli for the NFC, former Giants quarterback, Peyton for the AFC, former Broncos and Colts quarterback. Both of them have two Super Bowl rings as starting quarterbacks, both legendary players. I would argue Peyton probably more so than Eli, but Eli comes out with the win here. The NFC, I think, barely edged out the AFC 35-33 in their points in flag football. So they decided to change their format, right? In the past, the Pro Bowl game on Sunday was a quote-unquote real game. The players put on pads, they tackled each other, but nobody wanted to get hurt in the Pro Bowl, so nobody ran full speed, nobody tackled full speed, and it was kind of hard to watch, right? So this year, the NFL said, okay, fine. We want to make it a little bit more fun and maybe try and find a way for these players to really maybe play full speed and play full effort. So we'll change the format to flag football. And now we had the flag football game, right? So it's a shortened field, flag football rules. And it was still hard to watch for me. So, Nick, I want to get your opinion. When you were watching the game, what was your just initial reaction when you were watching this Pro Bowl stuff? And then compare it to the kind of games that we've seen in the past where they were quote-unquote real games.
Man, it just didn't feel right, like watching NFL players play flag football. It just didn't have that same feel. I mean, it was never really like electric. I guess you could say the ending with some of the like challenges they were doing midway through the game were kind of cool, like the races and stuff. But I just wasn't really deeply interested. I feel like it was kind of, I mean, I guess I wasn't like locked in on, this is must-see TV. This is really just like have it on in the background and see something cool, you can react to it. But it's just like, I don't know, man. Just looking back in the past, like the times I was in Hawaii when they used to have the draft, that was awesome. Orlando, it kind of started dying down just a little bit, but it's just kind of hard for football to do like a all-star Pro Bowl kind of game and be top-notch without having football involved. Like MLB and NBA kind of have it differently because you're able, it's not fully a contact sport. In baseball, it's really home run derby, which is awesome, and you have the MLB All-Star game, so it's really just like another baseball game for them. So I think, especially with the injuries that's been happening in NFL, I think it's good just to have, just to not do as much contact. And I think the Pro Bowl games is what was making it more fun, especially the dodgeball. That's one I really enjoy.
The skills challenges were better, in my opinion, than like the best catch and the precision passing. And we'll talk about that in a second here with Derek Carr's performance. But the dodgeball, right? They did like the wall drag with all the big linemen and things like that.
Yeah, the obstacle course, I thought that was fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, listen. I mean, look, even I saw Myles Garrett like dislocated his toe at the Pro Bowl. So it's football. You're going to get hurt regardless of whether you're playing flag football or tackle football or whatever. What I think they should do is two-hand tag. I think that'd be like a combination of both because, you know, flag football was kind of cool, but it's just so separate and it's so different from traditional football. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't all that exciting. And I watched the highlights. I didn't watch the full game, and I could barely finish the highlights, which was nothing but all the touchdowns.
I mean, the most electric thing that happened was Jalen Ramsey, like, clocking Tyreek Hill when he was about to go in and score a touchdown.
Yeah.
It was probably, like, the most excited thing when it was, like, wow, he touched somebody. That's in flag football. That was the most exciting thing that comes out of it. I mean, NFL, I mean, is there not much better they could do, I guess, because they really want to player safety is priority, which I agree with. It needs to be, especially after this year with all the injuries that were occurring. But, I mean, I think they just need to keep it to the skills competitions because that's what really everybody likes, especially the dodgeball game.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, being named to the Pro Bowl is the whole – this, like, the point, yeah. Right? It's like, oh, I was a Pro Bowl selection. That's something I could put on my resume. That's something that people will talk about.
I feel like the all-pro title means much more.
Sure. Yeah. But, obviously, Pro Bowl, I mean – still very important mm-hmm. to these guys, unless you were like an alternate. Yeah.
I mean, Josh Jacobs' stance on the Pro Bowl, he didn't really like it.
No, he was not a fan of the Pro Bowl. Of course, his team lost, so maybe that had something to do with it. But I can see where he's coming from, right?
NFC finally won a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, finally. What was it, like 11, 12 years?
Yeah,
like that?
I mean, it's usually always time. How I've been thinking of it's usually the AFC wins Pro Bowls and the NFC wins Super Bowls.
Hey, that's an interesting idea here. We'll see if that happens. The NFC won the Pro Bowl, so maybe the AFC will win the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
we'll
guess I'll figure that out.
Yeah, I personally was not a massive fan. I don't really know if it was any better or worse than the sort of
other also
fake, you know, kind of Pro Bowl that we had a couple of years ago where Mac Jones ran for like 50 yards and did the gritty and everyone cringed so hard. But I'll tell you who was a fan of the Pro Bowl, and that was Derek Carr, right? Because he got to go in there and, especially in precision passing challenge, kind of put on a show and tell a lot of these teams around the NFL that are needing a quarterback, mm-hmm. hey, look at me. I'm here at the Pro Bowl, and I deserve to be at the Pro Bowl. I'm a Pro Bowl-level quarterback. Pick me, right? And so that's going to kind of lead into this next segment that we'll talk about here when we come back. There's several pretty significant names in terms of veteran quarterbacks about to hit the market this offseason, and me and Nick are going to break down where we think they should go, where is the best fit, and where we feel like they might actually end up when we return here on the student section.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back to the student section, and we're joined by Nick Elliott, and we're talking about some veteran quarterbacks here. Where could they go? Where should they go? And we're going to kick things off with Derek Carr. Obviously, we talked about the kind of performance he had in precision passing at the Pro Bowl. The Raiders are more than likely going to let him go at some point now, whether that's a trade or whether he's cut, that's sort of TBD right now. He has $40.4 million that will become fully guaranteed around, 3 to 5 days after the Super Bowl. So I think the Raiders are going to move off of Derek Carr. That's very obvious. The next question is, where could he go, right? My first thought is the Panthers.
It's interesting.
Right? Head coach Frank Reich, an offensive-minded dude. The Panthers need a quarterback. The only question is, would they look to draft a guy or would they look to get Derek Carr? I don't know.
I'm starting to think they're going to go into a fresh start and draft a quarterback.
You know,
I could see them drafting because they were high on Levis even before the year started, so I could. And now he was coaching at the time, still at the Colts, so I could see them maybe looking at Levis. Maybe.
Will Levis is not an elite prospect.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying he's an elite quarterback by any means, but I still think he's still high on everybody's draft boards. I mean, Anthony Richardson, maybe. I still think Derek Carr is going to end up in the NFC South, whether that's New Orleans, whether that's
yeah.
Carolina. I mean, Tampa Bay, who knows where they're going at quarterback?
New Orleans is a really interesting prospect. To me, I don't think the Panthers are going to look to bring in a guy, especially a Will Levis or an Anthony Richardson. They're project quarterbacks. They're not ready to compete right now. Yeah. And if they both start, you're not winning the division next year. Now, a Derek Carr with that defense and those, you know, they have solid pieces along the offense. Offensive line's pretty decent. The run game's pretty decent. They got some receivers.
DJ Moore, he's very good.
Yeah, so I think the Panthers are kind of built to win the division right now, right? And I think it would make more sense to go out there and get a Derek Carr. And here's an interesting thing. Today it was announced that the Panthers are going to hire E.J. Evereaux as their defensive coordinator. Now, he previously served as the D.C. at the Broncos, which meant he had to coordinate defenses against Derek Carr twice this season, right? So he's seen Derek Carr twice. He knows what Derek Carr is capable of. So Frank Wright's probably going to talk with EJ and say, what did you see when you were trying to build game plans against this guy? How good is he really? And talk about what he could bring to the table. But if I were Derek Carr, I think he ought to go to the Panthers. Now, the question is, where will he go? That's a whole different ball game. But I haven't heard anything from anybody.
It's what I've been seeing from Jeremy Fowler, who works with ESPN, especially like the buzz from the Senior Bowl last week, was Derek Carr to the Saints, but I haven't really seen anything else besides that. But especially the contract hits that his contract has. I mean, no team really wants to take that on, so the Raiders are going to have to pay a hefty price of just paying him off, paying off his contract, and to somehow get like a 7th or 6th or 5th round pick and call it a day, because I don't know.
I'm not sure they're going to trade him. I honestly think that the Raiders are going to have to end up cutting Derek Carr.
It'll be a miracle if they do get a trade off.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to trade him. I think they'll cut him, and then, you know, it'll be a kind of a bidding war. Do they Texans want to bring in a veteran guy to help out a rookie, or maybe it's the Jets to help out Zach Wilson? I don't really know.
Lots of teams need a quarterback.
If it's the Bucks, is it the Saints? I think the Saints could be a really interesting place. I think let's say the Saints were to bring in Derek Carr, they would automatically have the best quarterback in their division. If the Bucks were to bring in Derek Carr, they'd have the best quarterback in their division. If the Panthers, right? So it's like, who's going to end up with Carr?
And really interesting, the Falcons, then I don't know if they're sticking with Ritter or is Mariota back. I don't know.
I don't think Mariota is going to go back to the Falcons. And I think I've seen some things where the Falcons are kind of pleased and encouraged with what they saw from Ritter. So it almost I have a feeling that unless maybe Lamar Jackson for some reason pops on the market, I don't think they're going to move off of Ritter, which is
an interesting
thing for
me.
I
didn't think he looked good, but they were running. They're more run dominant team. And
yeah,
I mean, he had some flashes, but it's really just, I don't know. The Falcons have just been put into a tough spot. The Bucks. I mean, is Kyle Trask the guy, or do they
absolutely
go?
Not?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's the guy. I mean, Blaine Gabbert, he's old. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not going
to
be.
Kyle Trask, to me, is the most statuesque quarterback I've seen since Matt Ryan.
Tom Brady is the same statue quarterback.
Tom Brady seems like he's more mobile at 45 than Kyle Trask was.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the way Kyle Trask stands. It's like his feet are bricks.
Especially with how bad that O-line was with the Bucks. I really feel like they need to go.
I think the Bucks will look to draft a quarterback.
Draft a quarterback. They could make a move for their former quarterback, Jameis Winston. He could go back down to Tampa.
No, I don't think so either. The Bucks they're in a position to kind of win now. They don't have an offensive coordinator yet. They've interviewed Georgia OC Todd Monken twice, so he could end up going back to his former position.
NFC South
OC
is easily the most wide open position. One draft for any of the teams, or one free agency kind of wall can it, just yeah. yep, can just change things.
I think
things.
The Panthers will also have a bit more cap space than yep. most of the other
Saints
teams.
Usually, Saints are never a cap oriented team. They're always usually way below the cap. They're usually just win now. So
yeah.
it's always interesting to see what the Saints have to do.
Well, Mickey Loomis is by far the best general manager in terms of finessing the cap, because yep. there's no way that they're paying all those dudes that much money and they're just staying under the cap so much, but he does it somehow, some way.
Yep.
Now, we talking about Tom Brady retiring and who could come in for Tampa Bay. Jimmy Garoppolo yep. is not going to be with the 49ers next year, and Kyle Shanahan's made that very clear. So perhaps Jimmy G mm-hmm. could follow Tom Brady, yep. right?
That's another interesting name, especially. I mean, he just wins football games, the Bucs, and then they yep. could go that similar way. Mm-hmm. But I don't yep. especially if they bring in Todd Monken. Todd Monken offense would really work well with Jimmy G,
yeah.
I feel.
Yeah. Here's, like, you know, obviously been in San Francisco for a while now. Robert Saleh, you know, was at San Francisco yep. with Jimmy G, and he's the head coach of the Jets. Maybe he brings in Jimmy for a while as a veteran guy to kind of run this offense and mm-hmm. while they're working with Zach Wilson and developing him. Or D'Amico Ryans, who's now the head coach at the Houston Texans, right? Maybe he brings in Jimmy Garoppolo to kind of add a veteran bridge yeah. for a young quarterback yeah. that they develop as well.
I just don't think they will draft. I think they're going to draft instead of...
I agree. I honestly predict that the Houston Texans will move up to the number one spot and probably select a Bryce Young or a CJ Stroud and have them both start if, you know, they select either one yeah. of those guys. Somebody's
going to try to...
The Colts, maybe, for Jimmy G? I don't know. No. They don't even have a head coach yet, so we have to figure out who they're hiring as a head coach before we can start speculating about who they might get. Derek Carr might fit the Colts as well. I'm not sure. But I'll tell you, now that Brady is off the market, right, because there was some speculation that he may go somewhere, the biggest name in free agency at the quarterback position is going to be Aaron Rodgers. Now, he's still on contract at Green Bay and is making a butt-ton of money, but it seems like he's unhappy at Green Bay, right? Now, is he going to return to football? I don't know. I think so. I honestly don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to be sharing a Hall of Fame class with Tom Brady, because the whole thing's going to be about Tom Brady, right? I think yep. Aaron Rodgers will want to at least play one more season.
It's just where he's – I think he's going to – I mean, he might retire and then come back the next year. He's very, like – I mean, he does – his decisions, he's very crazy.
I don't know what he's going to do. I think I saw a report where it said he would prefer to play for the Raiders. Obviously, former teammate Davante Adams is there over the Jets, because there was some noise about him going to the Jets. Nathaniel Hackett, his former OC, is now the OC at the Jets, so maybe he could go there. They have a great defense, yep. good offense, receivers. But when you look at the Raiders, they have one of the best offensive minds in football right now with Josh McDaniels. They have Davante Adams and Hunter Renfrow. They got Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs. So they have elite skill position players. Their defense is okay. Their O-line is okay. I don't know.
You're going to go against Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Russell Wilson.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, oh, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid together.
Yeah.
And now you have Sean Payton and Russell Wilson together. Sean Payton announced as the head coach today of the Denver Broncos. So Sean Payton and Russell Wilson together. And, of course, now Justin Herbert has been given Kellen Moore, former OC of the Cowboys, is now the OC at the Chargers. So Kellen Moore will be coordinating Justin Herbert's offense. I think that's a great upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to want to go to the Raiders. Plus, Josh McDaniels and Aaron Rodgers, their personalities, the way that they are. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is so free-flowing, and I don't want to be bothered, and I want to go, you know, do my herbal teas yeah. and.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers would be able to handle New York Jets, like
the media?
The media.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah.
You know, he's dealing with the national media all the time. Aaron Rodgers made his comeback to Green Bay, honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
he may just go back to Green Bay. Like, Christian Watson's really come on. Romeo Doubs has come on. Now, he would obviously, he's, you know, said, I want Robert Tonyan back. I want Alan Lazard back, things like that. David Bakhtiari back. And we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, if he doesn't get his wishes, then might be.
Yeah.
Might yeah. be going into the Sin City.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. But, you know, there are some places that are kind of built
to
win now. So
interesting to see Jordan Love. I mean, if he gets his chance to shine, I think
Jordan Love looked pretty good the last time I've seen him play in that game.
It was this season, right? Yeah, he played against the Eagles and put up like 200 yards like in one quarter.
He looked like a starter.
It'll be interesting to see what quarterback moves are made, especially. I mean, this will probably be one of the most interesting off seasons in a while. I mean, last year was really good off season. So maybe this year, maybe it'll be, especially with all the coaching moves, even more coaching moves than last year. I mean, this might be one of the most coaching moves ever. I mean,
plus you'll also have this quarterback draft class, right? Mm-hmm. Last year,
it wasn't very good.
No. So if you had all these veteran guys hit the market last year, you would have seen a lot of movement, right? Mm-hmm. Because nobody was really thrilled with a lot of the rookie quarterback prospects. Well, this year, right, you talked about Will Levis, Bryce Young, obviously, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, maybe a Hendon Hooker getting in there, right? People like Malik Cunningham and
Jake Haner.
I mean, there's all kinds of people
Some teams that don't get a quarterback, I think they might be tanking to get Heisman winner Caleb Williams, I think.
Sure, yeah. I think a lot of people kind of look at Caleb Williams as the closest thing to Patrick Mahomes right now, and maybe Bryce Young as kind of like the closest thing to an Aaron Rodgers right now, maybe. Caleb Williams is a bigger guy than Bryce, and I think probably you would say had better film this past season than Bryce.
I really like that Mahomes comparison. I see that now a lot.
Yeah.
He makes plays. He's a wizard. I mean, teams are definitely going to be tanking for Caleb.
Yeah, and if they don't get him, they'll get Drake May from North Carolina, who's also been really good this past season for the Tar Heels. So a lot of moving and shaking there for the veteran quarterbacks, and we'll keep you guys updated as these pieces move around the NFL throughout this semester. Now, Alabama has had some moving and shaking along the coaching staff, and it seems like we have finally settled down a little bit here. Nick Saban has announced the hiring of Tommy Rees as the offensive coordinator. Rees previously served as the Notre Dame offensive coordinator from 2000 to 2002. Not overly impressed with the hire, but not disappointed, right? He's only been an offensive coordinator at Notre Dame. He's a very young guy, so he hasn't had the pieces that Alabama has had to work with.
His best quarterback was Ian Book.
His quarterbacks were absolutely terrible, and he's turned several guys in, like a guy in multi-thousand-yard rushing seasons. So he runs the ball really well, and I think after this year, Alabama's offensive line wasn't able to push people around like we used to, and our running backs weren't able to kind of maul people like they used to until late in the season. It looked like maybe Jason McClellan was doing that against Ole Miss. But
yeah, we have, especially now, I mean, he's going to go into a running back room and you'll have four or five stars, and you'll have Jace McClellan, Roydell Williams, I mean, Jamarian Miller, he played some solid ball. You'll have freshman five-star coming in, Justice Haynes. I mean, the room is stacked, so he's not going to have a worry about talent.
No.
I mean, he's going to have solid tight ends. I mean, C.J. Dupree from Maryland coming in.
Yeah, very excited about what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be able to work with all the quarterbacks coming in. It'll be an interesting battle between Jalen Milroe, Ty Simpson. I mean, maybe the freshmen step up. So it'll be an interesting offseason.
We'll see. And he's worked with guys like Ian Book, who are very mobile and like to run the ball a lot, more like a Jalen Milroe type who runs around a lot. And then, of course, Ty Simpson, where you'd look maybe more like a Tyler Buchner, who, he's mobile and, he can escape the pocket, but he's more of a passer from the pocket and doesn't really want to run the ball. Yeah. He just kind of escapes to, throw.
Yeah.
So he's worked with multiple quarterbacks.
Yeah, fans probably won't be excited after looking at the numbers this year that Notre Dame put up on offense. But
no.
One example, if they do want to have something to look forward to, is watch the highlights of the Notre Dame-South Carolina bowl game. I mean, Notre Dame put on a show against South Carolina.
Yeah, when they finally had their starting quarterback back. Yeah, so very interesting hire. We'll see how that goes. A young guy can relate to the players, played quarterback at Notre Dame, so, you know, has some history at the position. And, of course, Nick Saban has found his defensive coordinator. Now, this one is a little more controversial, and I'll be honest, I was very disappointed when it was announced that Kevin Steele, who is 64 years old, has been announced as the defensive coordinator, right? He previously served as the DC at Miami. He was at Auburn for 4 years, LSU for one, Clemson for, I think, three. He has been a defensive coordinator at Alabama under Nick Saban. Bama's first year with Saban in 2007, right? Like,
I mean, I can see why fans are feeling happy, sad, a little in between. I mean, this past year, was he at Miami, or was it the year before
that? Yeah, he was at Miami.
Miami was not very good at all, and so maybe that's why. But he did a really good job at Auburn, man.
He did good at Auburn,
really good. I mean, I think he'll be a good bridge building. I mean, he'll be here. It's not like he's going to have any NFL jobs or any other college. He's not really going to be any head coaching jobs. I mean, if he does his job, I mean, he could be a nice piece for future.
I have heard some reporting, and this is all speculation, but this is reporting from people who have sources inside the program. I trust these people's reporting that Kevin Steele, obviously 64 years old, is 1 year away from being able to retire in the state of Alabama with state pension, right? Nick Saban likes Kevin Steele. He has hired Kevin Steele twice before. Kevin Steele has had two different stints on the Alabama coaching staff, usually coaching the inside linebackers. So this is a third stint for Kevin Steele at the capstone. I've heard some reporting that Kevin Steele will come and be the defensive coordinator and the play caller for a year and retire, and that Jeremy Pruitt, who I think most people would agree it appeared Nick Saban wanted to hire early on in the process, will actually come in and serve as a defensive analyst. And Jeremy Pruitt this season will build the game plans and build the schematics and allow Kevin Steele, who is also a good friend of Jeremy Pruitt, to do the play calling on the field during game day with the defensive schemes that Jeremy Pruitt builds for him. And then, of course, Kevin Steele can retire and get the state pension, and Jeremy Pruitt can deal with the NCAA litigations that are going on right now and all of the stuff that happened at Tennessee. So the University of Alabama is protected because Pruitt isn't our DC. So if he can't recruit or if he can't coach on the field, then we still have a defensive coordinator who can recruit and who can coach on the field and call the plays. But also we'll have the benefit of having Jeremy Pruitt's fantastic defensive mind helping out in, you know, the film room, building the game plan for the defenses. And it looks like Pruitt may end up being our defensive coordinator in the following season. Of course, that's all speculation, but I trust these reports, so we'll have to wait and see. If Pruitt is hired as an analyst, then I think that is the case. But Kevin Steele will return to Alabama for his third stint under Nick Saban at the Crimson Tide as the new defensive coordinator, and Tommy Rees will take over the quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator positions. That'll do it for us tonight at the student section. I've been Aiden McGuirk, joined by Nick Elliott. Remember to tune in Sunday for the live watch-along for the Super Bowl. It's going to be very exciting. They're going to give great insight into all of the fun stuff happening there at the Super Bowl and halftime show. So we will see you next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.